And now the game where we ask smart people to do something stupid, namely appear in our show. Michael Lewis is one of the most influential nonfiction writers there are. His first book, Liar's Poker, was credited with helping to bring down the head of Salomon Brothers in the 1980s. His book, Moneyball, changed the game of professional baseball. And most unlikely of all, his book, The Blind Side, ended up winning an Oscar for Sandra Bullock. His new book is The Big Short. It is about the great financial crisis of the last few years. Michael Lewis, what a pleasure. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter.
Michael, so this book, The Big Short, is a return to the area of your first book, Finance, Wall Street. This is something that you lived back when you got out of college in the 80s, right?
That's correct. When I got out of graduate school, I took a job at the now defunct Salomon Brothers.
Right.
And my first book was the story of that experience. It was because I couldn't fathom why anybody was paying me hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to give financial advice.
Yeah.
That I thought there was a story in this. I just thought people paying me that kind of money signaled doom. And there was no way the system was sustainable. And so when I left, I really did think I was getting out at the right time. It turned out I really should have hung around another couple of more decades.
Right. Because, you know, you say in the introduction to your current book, The Big Short, that you thought that book would be like a warning. Like, my God, stay away from this crazy world where they're paying young kids vast amounts of money who don't know what they're doing.
The lesson that seems to have been extracted is that if you didn't know anything about anything, you could make a fortune on Wall Street. And it attracted everybody who didn't know anything about anything, and this is what we've got.
Right. That may be the simplest explanation for how we ended up where we are. So your new book, The Big Short, it's about the current financial crisis. But what's interesting is you don't write so much about the people who caused it as the people who saw it coming.
Well, when I left Wall Street, the big Wall Street firms were kind of the smart money at the poker table. And somehow they'd become the dumb money at the poker table. I mean, they all were saddled with these horrible losses when the subprime mortgage bond market collapsed. And I was kind of curious, well, if they were the dumb money, who was the smart money?
And
there was this collection of oddballs and misfits who had basically bet on the collapse of the financial system, and those are the main characters of this story.
And some of them are rather odd, as you say.
They had a view that was at variance with the entire financial system. And if you want to have variant views, it helps to be variant.
Tell me about one of these guys or any of them.
Well, let's pick the easiest.
Okay.
All right. The first investor to make a bet that this whole subprime mortgage bond experiment was a disaster was a fellow named Dr. Michael Burry, who was he had been a neurologist. He quit neurology to start a hedge fund. And he doesn't know it, but he has Asperger's syndrome. He knows it now because it's in my book. But before,
wait a minute. Told him?
Well,
like you sent him the galleys, and he's like, wait a minute, I have Asperger's syndrome.
Maybe perhaps that's taking too much credit.
Yeah.
But he didn't know it when he made his bet. He found out later, and he's basically isolated in a room alone, just looking at financial data. And so he's a blind judge of what's going on in the system,
and he sees what
everybody doesn't see just by looking at how bad the subprime mortgage loans have become.
So he saw that this whole thing was going to collapse because it was built on nothing.
He believed it,
and he bet against it, and he ended up making a lot of money. Tell me just briefly about the guys who were betting bad, who were creating this whole thing. Were they just dumb? Did they just delude themselves because they're making so much money?
Well, I think the world would like to think they're criminals. Because they're so angry at him now, but I think it's much more interesting and complicated than that. I think really that it's amazing how much you will miss that's right in front of your face if you're paid to miss it.
Right.
And they were paid to miss it. They were paid to ignore like really simple facts. And there was so much propaganda around the market, people believed it.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are the guys now any smarter than the people that got us into this mess in the first place?
No, they're not smarter. No, it's terrifying. It's terrifying that in effect the same system is in place as was in place before, only with a taxpayer guarantee.
We want to talk before we go on much longer about baseball, because we're all baseball dorks around here. And you wrote a book called Moneyball, which actually has become a term of art in the baseball world. Some credit you for saving baseball. Some say you ruined baseball. Can you tell us what Moneyball really was? Because there's so much myth about it.
Yes. Moneyball was a book about how one baseball team, the Oakland A's, competed with a much smaller budget than everybody else, or most other teams. So you've got the New York Yankees spending $200 million on their 25 players, going against the Oakland A's that spend, say, at the time, $40 million on their players. And the question was, why were they doing so well? And at bottom, it's about, I guess it's about market inefficiencies and exploiting, but it's really about how badly the market values people. I mean, that they could find misvalued baseball players was, to me, just a revelation.
If there's one thing that there's a theme in your books, it is, as you've already said, it's the guys who see the thing coming that nobody else sees. Be it Billy Beane, who sees the things in the general manager of the A's, who sees the things about the players that nobody's valuing, these guys in The Big Short. So do you know, since you're writing about the guys who always see and the women who see what's coming next, do you know what's coming next?
I don't have any clue.
Really?
No, absolutely not. I mean, one of the amazing things to me is that when you write a book, say, about all the people who saw the subprime mortgage market collapse coming, people think you're saying that you saw the subprime mortgage market collapse coming. When you write a book, Liar's Poker for that matter, that maybe the point of Liar's Poker was if you're going to ask anyone in the whole world for investment advice, it should not be me.
Right.
And the minute it's published, everybody's asking me for an investment advice. I mean, I really do feel like I'm at this moment in my life where I walk out the door and I scream, I'm not Jesus, I'm Brian. Yeah, the money.
Right.
And I'm just Brian, you know?
And so where is your money invested? In gold and livestock? Is it under your mattress?
You just asked me the question. I told you you'd be.
I know. I was tempted. Well,
so
whatever you're
point?
Doing, I'm going to do the other thing, I guess.
There's no point to that.
There's no point.
I'm not going to even tell you because someone might listen.
Well, Michael Lewis, we were delighted to have you on our show. Now, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling.
Pew, 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 pew.
That was Carl doing ray gun noises.
Oh, I see.
That's kind of a small ray gun.
It's kind of a small ray gun. Come on, let's try it again.
Bigger ray gun.
Give us some wattage here.
Get it tightened up now.
Right.
Beep.
Beep. Beep. Right, Carl, repeat after me. Repeat after me.
Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, don't you know ray
gun? Pew, 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 pew.
It's universal ray gun.
Carl?
Pew, 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 pew.
That's closer.
All right, that's good. Anyway, the reason Carl is doing ray gun noises, as I'm sure you're wondering, Michael.
I thought it was a kitten.
I thought it was a heart monitor.
This is one of the mild things they make me do.
I know. Anyway, Carl is doing ray gun noises, Michael. Because this week is the 50th anniversary of the first patent on the laser.
Oh.
Yes. So we're going to ask you three questions about lasers, because why not? Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. Carl, who is author Michael Lewis playing for?
Michael is playing for Sherry Arison of Chester, Vermont.
All right. Ready, Michael? Here is your first question. Laser technology can sometimes be controversial, as when it was introduced about a decade ago into what? A, the Easy Bake Oven. B, the World Pea Shooting Competition. Or C, knitting.
A.
A, you're going to go for the, when they put the laser in the Easy
Bake
Oven?
I'm not going to think out loud for you. A.
You're just going to go A. You just,
yeah.
No. Actually, it was the World Pea Shooting Competition.
Okay, I'll slow down now.
You slow down.
I got to get
down.
Two out of three, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, all the World Pea Shooting Competition happens every year in Wycham, Cambridgeshire, in England. And 10 years ago, people started attaching laser sights to their pea shooters, causing much controversy, but they have now been grudgingly accepted there. All right, next question. Over at Carnegie Mellon University, engineers are thinking up great new uses for lasers, such as which of these? A, etching the picture of the animal whose meat you are eating onto bologna. So you know. B, hitting. Hold on. B.
Do I need to even hear any of the others?
Well, I happen to have them.
Okay, go ahead.
B, hitting the perfect ping pong shot, or C, making really, really, really tiny hamburgers.
Yeah, if I get it wrong, are you going to give me one more final try?
I am.
All right, panelists, you vote. Which should I go?
Oh, the audience
yes. Wants the
audience wants
A. Is overwhelmingly A.
Oh, well, then I think, you know, the wisdom of crowds. I think we're going to have to go with A.
You're going to go with A? The bologna. Yes.
Oh, well done.
That's right. It was A, etching the picture onto the bologna. The idea is that it's a piece of bologna with a picture of a pig or a pig and a chicken or a cow or something unidentifiable, so you know what it is you're eating. Here's your next and final question. If you get this right, you win. We remember the Star Wars system. These are the plans to blast Soviet missiles from the sky with lasers. Well, scientists in Washington State recently adapted the technology for a new application. What is it? A, a machine that blasts buzzing mosquitoes from the sky with lasers. B, lasers mounted on lampposts that short out cell phones being used in moving cars. Or C, an educational game in which kids who get spelling questions wrong are hit with lasers.
I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A. You were all right again.
Oh.
Well done.
Ah.
They hope to bring the Star Wars mosquito laser system to market sometime in the next few years.
Oh, I want that so
Me
bad.
Me too. Carl, how did Michael Lewis do in our quiz?
Michael had two correct answers, Peter, so he wins for Sherry Harrison.
Michael Lewis is a great author. His books include Moneyball, The Blind Side, but his latest is The Big Short, Inside the Doomsday Machine, in bookstores now. Michael Lewis, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mike.
Bye-bye.